With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right. Bills practicing again today. Sal was there, of course. My friend Carlin Hartman was there, who has been on the show. He was a basketball star in the area 30 years ago when we were at Grand Island together and is now an assistant coach at Oklahoma. And I was talking to Carlin, and he was at practice. He went to Bills practice. He knows Derek Boyko from the Bills.
Okay.
And I said, make sure you go up to Sal, because he would like that. And Carlin likes the station, so I think he would like doing that. And that happened, right?
It did. Actually, Derek said, hey, Sal, do you know Carlin? And I walked over, and he says, I know who you are. He says, you know, I follow your stuff. I listen to you. I follow you on Twitter. And he goes, you know, and he said, I'm friends with Mike Shope. And I said, I know that. I said, I've had many conversations about you with Mike. And then Coach McDermott came over, and they were all chatting. Carlin wasn't the only one there. There were several. There were a couple other guys there as well. And he said, I started talking to Derek about how good Carlin was in high school. And then I said to Coach McDermott, I said, you know, basketball. I said, Tulane, right? And he said, Carlin says, yeah. And I said, the posse. And he says, yeah. And he had a smile on his face. He says, man, he got a good memory. Mm-hmm. And I explained to Coach McDermott what the posse was at Tulane, the five guys off the bench that all came in at once that Carlin was a part of. And Coach McDermott was kind of blown away about that and said, I can't believe you remember that. And I'm like, well, yeah, he was like legendary coming from this area.
Perry Clark was the coach. That's right. Did Carlin was in the posse.
Yes.
So whatever time of the game, 5 minutes into the game or something, you'd replace his whole lineup.
Yeah, Brian right. Hodgson was there too, assistant coach at UB. So they were all hanging out a little bit today. There were a few other guys as well. So
nice.
You know, it was cool. It was fun to get to know Carlin. We talked a little college basketball, got to know him a little bit, and I look forward to talking to him some more.
So there was nothing about this practice then that was so private, because like lots of people from all parts were able to watch it, were allowed.
That's true. Pretty much anybody with a credential or that you were invited in by the team in some capacity was allowed to be there, yes.
What's today's Josh Allen report?
He actually today was a little bit of a new wrinkle. He was the starting quarterback for the very first offensive series, but that was only a red zone work opportunity. So what I mean is they went 11-on-11, but it was red zone work. So Josh Allen was the starter. So the very first time we saw any 11-on-11 starters, Josh Allen was the quarterback, but it was just for red zone. After that, he was not with the starters, I don't think, for the rest of practice, from what I remember. So kind of what that tells me is I was thinking about that, this, Mike, and I said, you know, that's probably, to me, part of the plan, part of the process, which is they'll probably give him, okay, on one day we're going to give him, you know, six snaps yesterday with regular, you know, first team offense in a regular situation. On Tuesday, he can work red zone. Maybe on tomorrow, he does 2-minute drill with the starters or something mm-hmm. like that again. You know, I think that's part of the process here.
And how, I mean, at the risk of really, really, you mm-hmm. know, finally going through this, like, how did he do with the starters today, Sal?
He looked competent and fine. What happened was the very first play was a screen pass. He kind of rolled left, he turned right, and when he threw it, it was knocked down. I can't remember how it got knocked down, but it was knocked down. And then on the next play, he didn't see what he liked, so he ran around right end, had about a 5-yard gain. But then on the third play, guys, he made a fantastic throw. Jeremy Curley was the wide receiver to the left side of the formation. I was standing next to both John Scott and Greg Vorse of Spectrum News, and as Jeremy Curley was coming out, I said to both of them, I go, wow, throw it now. That's what I said. And sure enough, like, he did it. He did it right then, because you, like, one of those timing, those anticipation throws where you want to see the quarterback throw it right when the break is being made. And he did that. He didn't wait for him to get open, and he fit it like right into a very tight window. By the time the DB turned around, the ball was whizzing by his head. It was a laser, and Curley caught it in the back of the end zone for a touchdown.
How athletic does Allen seem?
Very athletic. He does not. He runs like a smaller quarterback. You know, I mean, he can move. You know, I mean, when he's moving, he's. I'm not gonna say. I don't want to use the word lumbering, but he's bigger. You know what I mean? Like he's a bigger target out there for guys who are running up. You know, he's not Tyrod Taylor, but he can move. And when you watch him, he's fluid. If he decides he wants to run, he's going to run, and he has big strides. He can make up yardage pretty quickly and get to where he wants to go. And I think he's pretty fast, actually, you know, just kind of from a quarterback standpoint, watching him. Like, he runs much better, I think, than the average quarterback does. And it's a sight to see because he's so big. But he's athletic. Like, one of when he moves right or left as a rollout, and you can tell, like, the athleticism is there. And he has the option. If he doesn't like what he sees, he can take off. And I think that's, you know, a really underrated part of what they can do with him.
I'm seeing some reference to McCoy talked at length about him yesterday, or at least I saw at least one or two lengthy quotes. I saw something today from Tre'Davious White complimenting Allen and just the arm. Something like, any level of football I've ever been in, I've never seen on like a fifth the out play the ball look like it's been. I think the exact quote was shot out of a cannon.
Everybody we talk to talks about his arm, right? And you don't have to talk to guys. You can just see it when you're there. It's freakishly good. And when I say that, I mean, it's not hyperbole. It's there are very few guys that throw the ball with as ease as he does, as far as he does. And the analogy I gave Jeremy this morning, I'll tell you guys, is, you know, when you're young, when your kids were younger, I have a 4-year-old son now, but when you guys had your kids were younger and you were playing catch with them in some capacity, you kind of just used your wrist to throw it, right? Like, you didn't use your arm because you don't want to hurt them. You're just kind of tossing it with your wrist. That's what I do with Max. And it's like, that's what he does sometimes, but the ball just flies out of his wrist. He doesn't put a lot into his throws as far as using the torque and stepping into it. There was a video I posted yesterday. People can go find it. And I didn't realize this when I posted it, but people pointed it out to me, which is, I have a video of him. It's on my Twitter feed. And in the story I wrote for practice, he's on the left and Nathan Peterman's on the right, and they're both throwing the ball, you know, to a different receiver. And you can see the difference in the effort that Peterman puts into his throw versus Josh Allen. And I didn't even think about it until someone pointed it out to me, and I went back and watched and said, geez, that's exactly what I mean. He doesn't have very much movement with his body, and yet the ball still flies out of there.
Yeah, I like that sort of thing with baseball. In fact, this is actually true. My wife and I last night, we were watching the Dodgers-Texas game. I wanted to see Colon pitch, like 10:30 last night. He got hit. But the Dodgers had a pitcher, Ferguson, a young pitcher, and I just was telling her, I don't think she was too interested, but I'll call it a conversation. Look how easy his power is.
Right.
Like, just such a beautiful motion, and it's right. Just easy power. And in football, too. Ryan Fitzpatrick was somebody watching him at training camp. He just looks labored when he's throwing the ball. And so it's got to be like a scout thing. If it's even something a scout thinks about, it's just got to be something he notices or she notices, how smooth it looks.
I agree. You know, two things on that, Mike. It's like when you're playing golf with somebody who has that beautiful swing that doesn't have to overswing it, but yet the ball still goes 260 yards down the middle of the fairway, and you're like, how did that just happen? Like, you didn't really swing, and they just let the club do the work because that's what they said. That's what they say because they're just so talented in that regard. Well, in this case, it's so physically gifted with the arm that, you know, he's not putting a lot into it. But as someone pointed out to me, if you go back and watch his pro day, he did put some into – he stepped into it. And what happened? He was overthrowing guys. Remember the pro day, people were like, yeah, he threw the ball 80 yards, but the guy couldn't catch it. Well, if you watch in that pro day, he's stepping into it. He's – you know, he's slinging it around the field house there, wherever they were, and he was stepping into it. He was using his arm, and you saw the result. He was overthrowing guys a lot during that day, and I guess he just doesn't have to do that. I mean, that's really the freakish nature of his arm and where it's at, and it's for real. And when you're out there watching, you'll see at training camp when he does it. And even those little throws I'm talking about, the one to Jeremy Curley, like, he throws this ball, and I'm just telling you, there aren't many quarterbacks I've seen who would have thrown it the way he did and got it there that quickly and that type of trajectory. And then, but here is the downside to that. A few plays later, I think he was in for another red zone set. He threw a ball to in the end zone again. It was like kind of in the corner. He had a wide open guy, but it was I don't think it was Curley. I can't remember who it was. But he threw it as if it was Kelvin Benjamin because he threw it so hard and a little bit higher. And, like, that was the throw that needed touch on it. Like, you don't have to throw that ball now. And that's the incompletion that needs to be a completion that we've talked about a lot because he threw it too hard and a little bit too high because he threw it too hard.
Well, there is – just give me a minute here if you would, please. Like, there is the anticipation for the upcoming Bills season that is always there. And then there's the added anticipation about this guy. Like, excitement, too. He's supposed to be good. They drafted him early. What you see sometimes on TV is first top 10 Bills quarterback pick of the common draft era. Like, so it's historic. There's all this going on. So you're excited, maybe anxious. I think what I am mostly about Josh Allen is curious. Mm-hmm. I think I'm mostly curious. Because this is really, as we talked about a lot leading up to the draft, an all-time test of a guy with this kind of talent versus all the things that, if you look at performance, make you worry or would or should. Like, where were the good games? Where was his dominance of, against a, you know, relatively weak league? Where was the confidence that his own team was should have shown in him, given how good he is? Like, none of that is there. But then you watch him practice. Like, in shorts, he's probably the best of all time, right? So I just, more than anything else, I'm a lot of things, but I'm mostly curious for how this is going to go.
I agree. And, you know, I'm waiting for them to put pads on, not even just get to training camp. I want to see with pads on. Things are a little bit ratcheted up. It's more physical, obviously. They're obviously not going to sack him, but they're going to be in position and situations where you know he would get a sack and he would take a sack and things like that. So, you know, that's what I'm waiting for. So I'm not, you know, I'm reserving judgment. I can just right now just tell you what I see. And his arm is as good as everyone said it would be to this point. And I also think he's more accurate than people give him credit for. But I do think he has some issues when he doesn't figure out the right type of pass to make, if that makes sense, right? Like the one I just described, like it did not call for him on that particular play to zip it in there, and he did. And if he would have had a touch pass, it's 6 points. But instead, he threw it hard, and it was too high because of that. The nose of the ball never came down, and the receiver couldn't go up and get it.
Yeah, that's – I feel like you just sort of alluded to – the ordinary throw that I mentioned to you, like, I don't know when that was, a few weeks back now. Like, what are you most interested to see? Like, I'm sure we are going to get, and you just laid it out, this throw that he made, that he anticipated and zipped it in there to Curley. I'm sure we're going to get better examples of him on the move and making the big long throw, and that everybody's going to go, ooh, at training camp practice when they start. But, like, how does it go when he's just got to throw the quick pass to his left on what looks like a third and short or third and six or whatever it is? Like, that throw, I'm going to need that throw too. Like, the big one can overcome some amount of miscues, but I need the ordinary plays made too. I think that matters.
Yep, I agree with you. And, you know, he's missed a few of those. There's no doubt. He missed another one today where he was short and in the dirt on an out pattern that he should have completed. The ball came out poorly, and it was in the dirt. But, I mean, like, those throws do happen, but they're not a lot. It's not like every single time it's either one or the other. You know, he looks like an NFL quarterback out there, and he looks kind of like the other two guys. If you want to compare and contrast different things they do, that's fine. But if you're just talking in a general sense, it doesn't look like there's these two NFL quarterbacks and this guy who's just trying to figure it out. And there's three guys out there who are battling, and they're all doing some nice things, and they're all doing things that you might say, oh, he wanted that one back. Today, Nathan Peterman was not as good as he was yesterday. Nathan Peterman yesterday was, I thought, fantastic. He wasn't as good today, but he still made a couple of nice throws. One, Nathan Peterman was rolling to his left in red zone and threw across his body to the middle of the field, and Austin Prohl went up and had the catch of the day, came down, did a little toe tap in the back of the end zone. But that's a throw that I'm really glad I saw Nathan Peterman make, because we all talk about his lack of arm strength. That's a hard throw to make, but he made it today, and he was rolling to his left, and he turned his shoulders and threw it across to the middle of the field in the back of the end zone, and he got it there with some zip on it, and that's what I want to see. But he also had some throws today that, you know, definitely were not as good as yesterday, I'll say. And, you know, those are going to happen. There's going to be days like that for each of these guys.
Sal Capaccio on the AT&T hotline with us. Bills with day two of 3 days of mandatory minicamp practices this week. And Sal's report today is brought to you by Chester's Cajun Grill. When you're raging for Cajun, get on in to Chester's Cajun Grill in Cheektowaga. So we talked some about the wide receivers yesterday, and I'm betting you brought up Robert Foster, Alabama, when we were talking about this sort of shuffle that seems to be ongoing there. What do you think of him as a prospect, Sal? Like, and why do you suppose he was not drafted?
The production just wasn't there at Alabama. You know, this is a five-star recruit coming out of high school, and he goes to the best college football program in the country. The problem with going to Alabama, though, is if you're a wide receiver, unless you're this kid like Ridley or when Julio Jones was there, and they don't get lots of guys. They're just throwing all over the place. It's going to be one guy who's going to pretty much get the majority of all the main throws, and that was Ridley or, like I said, when Julio Jones was there. But this was not necessarily a spot for him to shine. It wasn't a spot for him to go and collect a whole bunch of catches. And if you look what he did, he only had what? Let me look it up right now. 14 catches, 174 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's nothing. He had no production whatsoever. But every single person that I've talked to or interacted with on social media about Robert Foster basically said he's always had tremendous talent. I mean, he's a taller kid. He's 6'2". You know, he shouldn't have any problem adjusting the physicality of the NFL game, getting off press coverage, all those little things you talk about. But he never was really put in a situation where he could succeed at Alabama simply because of the offense they ran. They didn't have a quarterback that was going to throw down the field. And, you know, he was behind Calvin Ridley. So, I mean, there was a lot of strikes against him as far as putting up numbers.
Sal, we know you're very busy. You're covering these practices. You go on golf trips. You're throwing passes to your son, trying not to hurt him. Did you have a chance to listen to us before you came on when we were talking about a league redraft?
The NHL, yes.
Football, too.
Oh, I did not hear that part.
Okay.
Only the first half hour with the NHL I did.
So maybe you'll be thinking about this for the first time here. If the same thing were to happen that you heard us talk about with hockey to football, and all the players in the league were available as free agents and you drafted the whole league over again, don't worry about their contracts, but you are to consider their ages. Who's the first player picked?
In the entire NFL?
Yep.
Todd Gurley.
Okay. Even in an era where running backs kind of get slighted like this?
You know, I'm thinking fantasy stats, Mike, and that's probably why I said that.
Okay.
So, but if we're just talking real football and how running backs are used, then you're probably right. I would probably shy away from maybe taking a running back. And I'd go Antonio Brown maybe, but I look at his age. And I still think he has several good years of production left. So it'd probably be Antonio Brown if I went that way. But I might take Gurley. I mean, he's because he can be a weapon in the passing game as well. And that's, you know, that would be a big reason. I'd put Le'Veon Bell up there. Guys who can do it all from the running back spot, I think would be put up there. I think Saquon Barkley would be up there. But I think that, you know, given what you just said is right, so I would seriously consider saying, I don't know about running back. Do I go Antonio Brown in that spot?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who the best – Who the youngest quarterback that's established enough that I can count on is, because there's that whole group of guys that are aging out, and you don't want to draft someone that's that old first overall if you're redrafting the entire league. But a lot of the young guys, we were talking about Wentz and Watson, both of those guys are coming off injuries,
right?
So like, what do I do there? And I ended up on Russell Wilson, and I haven't really thought of a better idea yet.
No, I hear you, and you know, I think about a guy like Cam. I wouldn't take him. I mean, right, with his struggles, right? I mean, that would be the guy that you would want to take is Andrew Luck if he was ever throwing,
right,
other than a high school ball. But I mean, you know,
right.
I think that's the guy you might want to take in that situation, but you can't even do that. So that's why I would shy away from a quarterback as well. But like I said, your initial question, I was thinking more fantasy, so I didn't even think a lot about the quarterbacks. But even if I do think about them, yeah, maybe Russell Wilson. We might get to him.
I wonder, like, I haven't even thought about the defensive side of the ball at all, but, like...
How are you going to win a championship?
Is Von Miller the best pass rusher in the league still? Like, who is that guy?
Yeah, do you even take J.J. Watt in the first whatever picks? I don't even know.
Injuries, age, Clowney, like, I don't know.
The Dallas guy with all the sacks last year.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the right answer is Chris Hogan. because he played lacrosse. Right. But there are a lot of, you know, good second choices.
To hear you say Barkley, when Mike shifted the conversation over to the NFL, the first name that popped into my head was Barkley because of mm-hmm. age. And then I went very quickly, like, I'm not taking a running back first. I can't right. do that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you would consider Barkley or even Gurley for that, then how do you bang on the Giants for picking them?
Right.
Right? Like, right. it's to me, that's kind of the same.
Yep.
I think I would want to make sure I didn't pick a running back, right. but I don't know. You know what?
I think
right
I might
is.
Take Jared Goff or Jimmy Garoppolo.
Younger quarterbacks
Garoppolo's
okay. who are not coming off knee injuries.
Right.
Yeah. I think now that I think about it and I look at all the teams, I think I might take Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe Jared Goff.
Can I get the Rams coach if I get Jared Goff? Like I want the coach. Can I say maybe I should just take a coach? If I'm redrafting the entire league, do I draft Sean McVay?
I bet if you I mean, let's say you actually could do this and you come down with Goff or Garoppolo, you'd better have the coach, right?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. those are not guys that, I mean, Goff, we sort of have proof of this, that you would expect from what you've seen to excel without a good system and mm-hmm. lots of talent. And, you know, maybe that's everybody. The legends are the ones who seem to transcend that.
Right.
But, like, Brady, who is 40, so you can't take him.
You know, the wild card is in all this, I think, would be a guy like Patrick Mahomes. You know, I think, like, there would be people who would say, dude, you got to jump on that guy. But I want to see it. Like, I read all this stuff, and they did make a lot of moves to kind of put all their eggs into his basket, and Andy Reid is not dumb. So, I mean, I trust that. But at the same time, I want to see it first.
Somebody tweeted at us suggesting him. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how you want to do it. But, yeah, I mean, you've got one game.
I want Beckham, but that's also got – there's holes to poke in that, and he's got an injury too, if that matters. I think if you really did this and you took Beckham, who's just a transcendent talent at his position, then I go all the way around the league and I get my next turn. Am I picking first overall? I guess that's the game. And then I'm picking the first in the second round and I'm getting, you know, a good quarterback there. But whatever. It's fun to think about. All right, Sal, any questions for us?
Caught me up. You see, you don't ask me every day, so now I don't have one today. I might have yesterday. I don't know. How important is winning the AL East? And
very.
I say this because uh-huh. you have to avoid the one-game playoff, right?
Right.
Very.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's more important than people realize because of those two teams. And people might say, like, I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and they're like, well, what are you worried about? They're going to make the playoffs anyway. I'm like, but I don't want the Yankees to be in the one-game playoff. That's the problem.
Nope, it's big. Anything can happen. You'd be favored at home against most teams. You might have your ace going if you're set up for it.
Yep.
But then you don't have your ace in the beginning of the next right. round, even if you win. So right. I think it's big. All right, thanks for the question.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
All right, Sal. We'll visit with Sal again tomorrow as the Bills wrap up their week of mandatory minicamp. Then they will be off until, well, we learned today, the 26th of July. Is when they will lead off training camp at St. John Fisher College in Rochester. Sal's appearance on the AT&T Hotline with us brought to you by Outlet Liquor. Need to stock up? Shop New York's only Outlet Liquor.
We'll talk some World Cup next. The World Cup opens tomorrow, and there are official odds on whether Ryan O'Reilly will open the season with the Sabres. You can bet it. We don't have legal betting in New York yet, but there is actually a place where you can bet whether Ryan O'Reilly will be on this team this coming season. And you can think for yourselves, would the odds be in favor of it or against it? We'll tell you later. The update coming up, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Is this official World Cup music, Joe?
This is the FIFA anthem.
The FIFA anthem, Bulldog. Do you know it?
Not a jam I'm familiar with.
I know that Champions League music.
Yeah.
We're not going to hear that.
I hope to become familiar with it in the days coming.
The FIFA anthem. I like it. Matt Reed joining us from Pro Soccer Talk here on the eve of the World Cup. Hi, Matt. We're Mike and Chris. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
What will happen in the World Cup? What are a couple of things you expect to have happen here in the coming weeks?
Uh, Where to start? I think the Spain news is obviously intriguing because it's not very often that you have a coach being fired one day before the tournament starts, and they're obviously one of the favorites to go on and win the tournament. So that's obviously big news. Messi and Ronaldo, will either of them get their first World Cup? I think that's the only thing that's a glaring miss in their trophy cabinet up until this point, is that they've done everything on the club stage. Ronaldo won the European Championships 2 years ago, so it's just a matter of whether they can finally get over that hump and hoist the World Cup. And then this is probably the first tournament in a while where there are favorites, but I don't think anybody's really – I don't think you really have an odds-on favorite to go on and win this thing, because there's so many deep teams in this competition. Germany, France, Belgium, Brazil, Argentina. I mean, there's a ton of teams that can really make noise. And I think, especially with some of the African sides, there's some teams that are really flying under the radar that can go on and make some noise in the knockout phase.
Right, that's what I was wondering. Like, realistically, how many countries do you think could lay claim to having a legitimate chance at winning this thing? Is it really just the group that you just mentioned there, or is it a little deeper than that?
It's funny, because I was talking about this with somebody earlier today, and they were trying to equate this to the NCAA tournament, but it's the exact opposite. This is the type of competition where you rarely see teams that aren't among the favorites that go on to make noise in the tournament. There's only ever been 8 World Cup winners, 7 of which are in this tournament. Italy's the one that didn't qualify. So if you're a betting person, obviously you're going to go with the teams that have done it before. I wouldn't really say that any of the teams outside of that category really have a chance. If they were, though, it would be Portugal just because of Ronaldo, but other than that, I mean, you have the standard Brazil, Argentina, Germany, Spain.
We're talking with Matt Reed of Pro Soccer Talk here on WGR. The World Cup starts tomorrow with Russia and Saudi Arabia at 11 a.m. What is Spain doing here, Matt? I saw a headline that put it, might have been Deadspin, that put it as that they placed protocol ahead of just trying to be real here, and what was in their best interest here to go with this coach. But what, he took a job with Real Madrid yesterday, and that alienated the people who lead that club?
Yeah, so it's a really complicated situation. So Real Madrid, obviously a very highly coveted position. Zinedine Zidane just decided to step down about 2 weeks ago. After he had won his third Champions League with the club, which is just unheard of in terms of the success that he's had. And then Spain's coach, Julian Lopetegui, steps in. And the news didn't leak out until apparently some of the Real Madrid players that are on the national team kind of caught wind of it. And then somebody on the team, I'm not exactly sure who, somebody that isn't a Real Madrid player, also caught wind of it, and that's when the story kind of broke, and Real Madrid kind of said, we have to nip this in the bud and just go ahead and admit that we've hired him as the new manager. Spain didn't take too kindly with that, because as good as Spain is, there's a lot of dissent within the team, just in terms of you have a lot of Real Madrid players, a lot of Barcelona players, and that's arguably the biggest soccer rivalry in the world. So the national team just decided that they couldn't continue with him through the World Cup. He also wants to focus on the fact that he's starting at Real Madrid, which is a big honor. It's a big job for him. So they opted to go with their sporting director, who takes over now, Fernando Hierro.
So how much, I mean, they are one of the betting favorites. At least, well, I'm looking at these odds, and I'm not sure if they're impacted by this news or not, or reflect that this change was made. Like, how big a deal is this? I mean, he's the manager. It seemed to be a pretty big distraction.
Yeah, it's obviously a big story, and like I said, this is something that's completely unprecedented. You don't see this happen right before a World Cup, and yes, they are one of the favorites. They still have a tremendous team. Honestly, one of the most deep teams in the competition. So I think I don't think they're going to be at risk of, say, missing out on the knockout rounds or anything like that. But they were my pick to go on and win the World Cup because I think that they're probably the deepest team in this tournament. But now I actually am having some reservations about picking them because this is a big deal. Chemistry is something that you don't really want to mess with, especially right before the biggest competition in the world. And for a lot of these guys, Andres Iniesta, Sergio Ramos, Gerard Pique, some of these guys, this could be their last go at the World Cup. And yes, they've won it before, but this is just very, very bad timing for a team that was heavy favorites to win it.
I'm also seeing now, this is a late update on this, that Spain has also fired Arsene Wenger. Very interesting. Is that funny? How did I do? Is that all right? All right.
Tremendous.
Thank
I
you.
Love it.
Thank you, Matt. All right, good.
Hey, I'm curious. You mentioned the storyline of Messi and Ronaldo seeking their first titles. How... I'm wondering, of course, everyone has their rooting interests and, you know, nationality and whatever. Like that aside, would those two guys be like the overwhelming, like would most soccer fans eventually, if their team is knocked out, just get to, well, I'd love to see the great player win a title.
Yeah. I think this is one of the few sports where you can kind of latch onto a player and, it's especially a situation where you can really equate it to the NBA where you've got the LeBron lovers and the Jordan lovers, because this is the classic case of you're witnessing Messi and Ronaldo, who are arguably two of the best players of all time. And you can throw guys like Pele and Maradona into the conversation, but these guys are just so far ahead of their time. It's unreal. And they continue to produce year in and year out. And they're both in their 30s now and just showing no signs of stopping. So I know a lot of people that as soon as their team's knocked out, they'll just latch on to whichever one of these guys is still in the competition.
Hey, Matt, last thing. The announcement today that North America will host the World Cup. Would you please sort of lay that out for us? What do we know? And what does it mean in soccer?
Yeah, so it's obviously a tremendous honor. This will be the second time that the U.S. has been involved in hosting a World Cup, at least on the men's side. They've hosted two women's World Cups as well. But this is, it kind of goes beyond just American soccer because this is a North American thing. We haven't seen a situation like this before with the World Cup. This will be the first time that three nations have ever co-hosted a World Cup. The only time that two countries had ever previously done that was in 2002 when South Korea and Japan co-hosted. So this is a really cool situation. And I'm obviously, I mean, we're talking 8 years out now, so I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm obviously very excited about the prospects of it. The U.S. has a lot of good, promising players coming up, and we don't know exactly what the situation is yet because FIFA still has to vote on it, but it looks like that all three of them will be automatically in it. It doesn't take the sting out of the fact that the U.S. didn't qualify for this World Cup. Like, I just wrote a column about that this morning. And tomorrow when the tournament starts, I'm going to be pissed again that we're not in it, but it's definitely a positive step for us. And, it's a cool situation because a couple weeks ago, even 2-3 weeks ago, this thing looked like it was going to be a really close vote and North America ended up winning this thing 134-65. So it was a complete blowout. And there were a lot of countries that voted in favor of the United bid that weren't necessarily pegged to pick us.
134-65 for Morocco. Sounds like a dream team score.
Yeah, right?
Very good. All right, Matt, thanks a lot. And I'm assuming you're going to enjoy this. I am too. I'm excited about it. Bulldog, you are, right?
Uh-huh.
I didn't ask
sure.
you, but I'm making sure that you
yes,
are excited.
Indeed.
Yeah. And I love, and just for us working in the afternoons, it's great that it's on in the morning because we have.
Oh, it's nothing better than meaningful big time sports that are on in the morning hours. Love it.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Matt Reed is from prosoccertalk.com and NBC Sports as well. Just checking to see what I want to say next.
Mm-hmm.
If you redrafted MLS, who goes first?
It's easy.
Is it?
Zlatan.
Really?
Zlatan. It's
what?
Yeah, the star power.
How old is he?
He's like a million years old.
I want Zlatan Ibrahimovic on my team. I don't care if he's 50.
Wow, you're nuts.
You should care. I think you should care. But you know what? Whatever. It's your choice.
I love that guy.
Okay.
He's on the LA Galaxy.
Yes.
Not the other LA.
Not
LAFC.
Right, that one.
Is he on that one?
Will Ferrell co-owns.
Okay, he's on that one. He's on LAFC, not on LA.
He is on the Galaxy.
He's on LA Galaxy. Yeah. He just got traded twice. Mm. He's on LA Galaxy.
Things happen fast.
He is not playing in World Cup for Sweden. Because? Right. We don't know why? Do we know why?
They don't like his man bun.
I don't know why.
No. They're going with youth?
Maybe. One way or another, that's what's happening.
Too old for the World Cup team from his home country, yet Joe would take him first in an MLS redraft.
I don't know what that says about MLS. I don't know what that says about Sweden. I know what that says about Joe. If you redrafted the NFL, who is the right choice to be the first player picked in the NFL? This is really hard. Is it not? Are you out there going, there is one obvious answer here? It has to be this player. I want to pick Beckham. It's flawed. He's not a quarterback. I mean, I want to pick Beckham, though. But I know. Like, what are you supposed to do there? Sal was tied up. Gurley, wait, though. The running back value point. What do I do? I don't know what to do. We're all tied up. Maybe least so you.
No, I don't. I've landed on Russell Wilson. I don't love that. Like, I want someone. I think it's hard. I think it is really. It's a lot. To me, it's a lot harder to figure out than hockey. Hockey, I think, you know, at least, you know, figure out. I mean, I can give you opinions about the hockey and feel like strong about them and argue. Football, I'm just like, I don't know who fits really. Like, it's hard to fit someone into all the criteria. I want proven great. I want quarterback. I want young. I also want durable. Like, Wilson sort of checks all those, but he's little. He hasn't been hurt, but he's little.
Who
like,
comes closer? Does anybody come closer?
I don't know.
You shouldn't worry about his size.
Yeah, right? You're right. You're right.
Because
probably
of
not.
His...
right? He has been
he's shown to hang in there, yeah.
Yep.
803-0550 is our number. Who would be the first or should be the first player picked in that kind of a thing? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Time for caller 5 right now. It's 644-9878 to get hooked up with a pair of tickets to go see Dead and Company. This show is next Tuesday, the 19th of June at Darien Lake Amphitheater. Value of this prize is $90, courtesy of our friends at Live Nation. General contest rules apply. And purchase your own tickets at livenation.com. Each paid ticket gets you free same-day admission to Darien Lake Theme Park. Win a pair right now. 644-9878. Dead and Company.
We've got an hour plus coming up here that's wide open. We can fool around a little bit. Then we have Brian coming on for the golf bet. I am on a hot streak, but the pressure is on here. It's my turn to pick. And there is a name here that is pulling me in both directions. Eldrick Tiger Woods. Uh-huh. What should you do? So you get 10 picks, and all you're trying to find is the winner. Is he worthy?
I took him in the Masters. I only got 7, and I took him, and before round one even started, like so Wednesday night even, I regretted it. It's like I got swept up in it. Like he had, you know, he'd had some success. He's back and like okay, and it's obviously compelling and whatever. So I don't know. If I were in your shoes, I don't think I would take him again because of how I. To me, he hasn't demonstrated to be in any really that much more of a better place than he was leading up to the Masters. So I don't know that I would want to. I would want to waste a pick on him. So I don't know. I if it were up to me, I wouldn't do it. But
okay.
You of course should do what you think is right.
Well, he is one of the 10 betting favorites.
And he was that for the Masters.
The 7.
Yeah, I did not reach for him according to the betting lines. That's really how I went about doing it. And you know, I don't think he deserved to be there. I mean, he was there.
There's one guy I want that is not one of the 10 betting favorites.
Because
usually I'll just sort of test.
Yep.
I like to test the merits of this bet and just leave it to the chalk. Like whoever the 10 favorites are, that's good enough for me. I don't know better. Everybody who's taken into account everything there is to take into account has done so when you look at these lines. Even the fact that it's rained there today, it's going to be in, it's going to be in the lines. So why should anybody think they can beat that? But there is one guy I like, and I want to go for the glory here. And if I win with a guy that's not among those 10, then that makes me awesome.
That's a much sweeter win than if you just did the chalk and okay, well, everybody was right. I got to ride with that. Great.
It's a good bet. It's not perfect. To make it perfect, we would want to reward that kind of risk-taking.
Right.
Make it worth more to win with a guy who's not among the favorites if you're able to do that.
Yeah.
So that's coming up at 6, a preview of the U.S. Open, which is at Shinnecock this year down, Long Island, I guess. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Again, redraft the whole NFL. Who's the first player you take? Age matters. Contract doesn't. And he doesn't come with his coach or anything like that. You just have the whole league to choose from. Who's the first player you want? It's hard. 803-0550 is the number. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.